You know, every waking moment of our lives, we have one or two viewpoints. An earthly, horizontal, I just want to kind of define this, a horizontal perspective, or a heavenly or vertical perspective. As people, we can willingly and stubbornly, or even unknowingly, limit ourselves to this earthly, horizontal perspective. And I think we can confess that we are more comfortable living our life our way. Consequently, human opinions influence us more than God's declared wisdom. And our problem is this: we are comfortable with what normal is for us, right? We're comfortable because we live a normal life, because we consider normal is different with everybody. We all have a different view of what normal is if we aren't focused on the Word of God. You know, when I counsel with people, or Debbie counsels with people, we'll ask them as part of our history gathering, what was your growing up years like? Okay? And people will shrug and say, well, it was just a normal life. And then we find out later that it isn't quite so normal. In fact, it may even be bizarre. Some of the things that people have lived through and gone through, it's just their particular experience. Mine is just my particular experience. And we look at that, and so normal can be defined any way, because it's what we're used to, until God. We base our choices on what we think best for ourselves. Horizontal solutions give us the illusion of great comfort or security, maybe less pain, or the search for pleasure or relief. You know, I thought it was interesting. I read this author that said, our problem is that we don't realize we want joy in our life, and so we switch joy for pleasure. And boy, isn't that the truth? We chase after pleasure instead of chasing after God's joy. So we tend to either reject or ignore or even justify God's remedies to our challenges because they don't fit in our normal. And it's scary to change that perspective, isn't it? I've met so many people that are scared to death to have to change because they're barely hanging on as it is. So we want to learn God's way. For example, when I'm under pressure, I tend to fight the war in my heart all on my own because, after all, I think I know what's best for me. And this week, it happened. I had like 30 emails stacked up all wanting something from me. And some of them were research, some of them were big answers, that kind of thing. And that was combined with discipleships, funeral, studies, meetings, and today's sermon. So rather than choosing God's counsel one particular day at my desk, and that counsel would be to meditate on His Word and ask for peace in all of my chaos, I fought the chaos for a while with stress and adrenaline rather than prayer and peace. And so finally, I thought, have you ever been there? Oh, yeah. I thought, okay, stop, Steve. And I pulled out my Bible and I sat back in my chair, got comfortable, read the scripture for a while, and prayed. And my normal life took a vertical motion. We all, instead of understanding how God counsels to solve dilemma, usually we step in and begin manipulating, a quick, painless escape. So I thought about this, and I thought, how can we explain this? And I think it's this way. I have a little granddaughter named Lucy. Now, many of you know Lucy. She's quite a card, okay? And Lucy wants to put on a shirt, and she says to me, I said, well, do you want me to help you with the shirt? And she goes, no, I do it. Doesn't that sound like Lucy? No, I do it. And so she proceeds to put on the shirt the way she thinks through, and she can't get it down, and pretty soon she's stuck and she starts crying because it's wrapped on her face. And sometimes, you know how kids are, they put their head through the armhole, right? But they can do it. You know, sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? So there is a need for us to look into what God actually teaches our heavenly vertical perspective. Because vertical wisdom fills the book of Proverbs, without a doubt. And the wisdom of Solomon offers the most practical, down-to-earth instruction in all the Bible. In fact, I love my one-year Bible, and sometimes if I'm going strong on my sermon or something, I'll just turn and read the Proverbs part. And just stop and meditate on the Proverbs, because it's God's wisdom. Now, we might ask the question, how in the world did Solomon get so smart that he could write the Proverbs? Well, turn with me to 1 Kings 3:7. If you have your Bibles, it'll be up here, okay? And let's join Solomon as he prays. He's just been crowned the king of Israel and prays to God for help in ruling the people of Israel. And so he prays. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Wow, what an uncommon prayer. If you were just a crowned king or queen, what would your prayer be? God, give me money, right? Make it easy on my life. Just give me what you can and make the people obey me, whatever it may be. And when you stop to think about it, his prayer is a humble spirit. In other words, he's saying, I don't know what to do, God. Please help me. And we're like Solomon because so many times in our lives we have no idea what to do. Isn't that true? We have no idea what to do. So Solomon doesn't just jump in with his horizontal perspective, but instead asks the Lord for wisdom and discernment and an understanding heart to judge the people. And God gives them a heavenly normal. Let's just read God's response here. The speech pleased the Lord. Wouldn't you love that when you pray? Man. The speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. When God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done this according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Man, that's an answer. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not anyone like you among the kings all of your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Oh, man, that's a great promise. So what's the point of our reading this? Because Solomon's Proverbs, that's actually the real name of the book. It's not just Proverbs, it's Proverbs. Because Solomon's Proverbs is God's vertical perspective in a practical way. It's God's perspective on how he sees things. And we gather this wisdom, God's normal, because there's only one normal with God, right? We have all these multiple normals hanging around on the earth, but he has one normal. And we gather his normal piece by piece as we read and contemplate his words. But the Proverbs are the most practical understanding of coming to understand this vertical wisdom. You know, I don't know what you've done, but I can remember back with John, my son. Now, John's back there at the booth. Are you still back there somewhere? Okay. And we got to this place where he and I would wake up before everybody else, and I'd make a couple lattes, and we sit down. That's why we're both addicted to lattes, probably. And we'd sit down and we'd drink the lattes and we would read a single proverb. And then I had this wonderful commentary written by a Jewish scholar that really knew his Hebrew. And we would look it up to see and make sure we knew everything that that proverb said. And we sipped our drinks and we'd discuss it and we'd turn it into how does that work out in our practical life. Those were amazing years. Amazing years. I can't even come close to covering all of the Proverbs. It's 31 chapters. Because it would literally take, at least me, years. Because I have a tendency to camp, okay? And my heart's desire is to give you and I a start, to whet our appetite, to become interested in the Proverbs because they are extremely important in life and in today's world. So welcome to the new series, Living Wisely, Uncommon Sense for a Foolish World. So let me just start right from the beginning. What does wisdom mean? The quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. That's what it means. If you're a wise person, that fits the criteria, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The definition of wisdom, the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make a good decisions and judgments. And according to King Solomon, this wisdom is gained from God. In fact, he says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes skillful knowledge and understanding." And when he says understanding, it means cleverness in a good, positive way. Now, in our society, cleverness sounds like you're going to get ripped, right? But from God's perspective, clever because you know what to do and you know what to say because it's right there. So I want to read our scripture for this morning. It's at the tail end of our sermon, okay? "My son, if you receive my words..." Okay. So let's start over. Okay, I forgot to tell you it's in blue, didn't I? All right. Okay. So let's just hearty up here because so many people are missing because of what's going on in the octagon. "My son, if you receive my words, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you seek her as silver, search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord
and find the knowledge of God."
Did you understand that line? That's an incredible line. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord
and by the knowledge of God.
For the Lord gives wisdom.
His mouth comes with.
He stores up sound wisdom for the upright.
He is a shield to those who walk uprightly.
He guides the paths of justice. It preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness,
justice, and equality.
Now I want that normal, don't you? That's the kind of normal I want in my life. And you know, I love that one line here. And search for her as hidden treasures. Because that's what it is. You know, I have a hidden treasure I brought today. And it'll sound kind of funny. But I want to show you my hidden treasure. Okay? So I want to start with the video. Okay? Let's do the video. Now, this is in Elah Valley. This is where David fought Goliath. Okay, now I just did a panorama when we were there. Okay. And when I was on here, I was up on top of the cliff, and that's where the armies of, and you can go to the next slide, that's where the armies of Israel stood on the mountains, because the Philistines thought that they had the god of the valley and Israel had the god of the hills. And so when we look at this, in Israel, when we went to the valley, Elah Valley, where David killed Goliath, do you remember how he did that? Yeah, the rock. He slung a rock. In fact, he got five rocks and put it in his pouch, because growing up, that's what he did to for wolves or lions or whatever, maybe a bear. I think he killed a bear, that kind of thing. And so he was a sharpshooter with a sling and really knew how to sling that. And so he picked up five rocks and put them in his pocket. Now, I want you to understand something. David's like 16 years old, somewhere around that age. And all of the armies are scared because Goliath, now Goliath is 9 foot tall. It says six cubits, and a cubit is a foot and a half. So he's 9 foot tall, so all of our basketball players don't match. He could have just gone over there and just set it down into the basket, right? That tall and big. And so he scared the armies of Israel. And so As he gets ready to go, King Saul says, "Come in and visit with me, because I heard you want to try to fight that giant." And so he says, "Put on my armor." Now, is that vertical or horizontal?
Horizontal.
And so he put all the gear on and walked, and he was dragging part of it because he was short. And so he threw it all off. He went out there. Now, here's a 16-year-old with the armies arrayed on the hill and the army arrayed on the valley, and he picks up those five rocks. And I think that one of the things about the rocks is Goliath had four brothers. They were giants. So he had one for each one of them if he needed. And so he runs. He runs at Goliath because he said he was fighting for God's army. And he knew that his God would not be intimidated by that giant. And so he crossed the creek, grabbed these stones, and he headed for it. And he took the sling, and he slung it. And it says it went right in and buried itself in Goliath's forehead. And Goliath fell to the ground. And he went over there and slipped out his sword, which he could hardly pick up because it was so big, and took his head off. And then their armies ran, and Israel pursued and won. So I was standing in that brook where he picked up the stones, and I looked down, and here's some rocks. Here's the rock right here. And they were all over the place in that brook. And I don't know if people pick them up like I did, but I picked up three or four of them and put them in my luggage because I wanted to take them home. Because rocks to anyone else don't mean what this rock means to me. Because this represents God's vertical perspective, doesn't it? And There are times in our life where we need courage. We need to step out and make a change or whatever it may be. And we need to be like David. Here's small David, 16 years old, and kills the giant. And I'm telling you, at times I pick up this rock or I've got a little glass jar, I look at it, and I think, I got to have more courage in what God can accomplish than me. Just like David had to have the courage that that rock would go right into the forehead of Goliath. And so this is my hidden treasure. I'd throw it out there, but I think one of you would keep it. Solomon writes, if you receive his words and treasure them and apply your heart to understanding, if you seek it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, what does the fear of the Lord mean? Well, it means respect, awe, actual fear because of greatness, his incredible wisdom, his power, his justice, and that he's God and you and I are not. Amen? Amen. And listening to him because he has by far the best plan in your life. I read this article as I was researching by William Eisenhower in Christianity Day, and he says this about the fear of God. Unfortunately, many of us presume that the world is the ultimate threat and that God's function is to offset it. How different this is from the biblical position that God is far scarier than the world. I love that. We assume that the world is the ultimate threat, we give it unwarranted power, for in truth, the world's threats are temporary. When we expect God to balance the stress of the world, we reduce him to the world's equal. Man, isn't that true? Sometimes we even think, God, are you powerful enough to make something different happen here? He's God. He's God. And so as I walk with the Lord, I discover that God is bigger than ever. He poses a threat to me, to my ego and my pride and whatever is there. But he's not a threat to me. He's a lover of my soul. He is always beyond comprehension, and yet he is my friend. Can you say the same this morning? I want to read this from Ephesians with God, because when we think about his strength and his power, we forget about his love. And that's really the basis, isn't it? Listen to this. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many times do we meet the fool that doesn't listen to God? Bobby was talking about 70% of the high schoolers go out into a foolish world. But we can learn. They're wrecking their relationships, they're wrecking their life because of their stubbornness. And I'm not just talking about the kids, I'm talking about all those who don't listen to God. But we can learn. No one is too old or too young to learn. The young can rapidly grow in wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and the older can keep on learning because we learned it the hard way. We can think vertically. Let's pray. Father, I just come this morning. Lord, help us to understand what you're saying to us this morning. That you have written Proverbs. These Proverbs tell us what vertical normal is. And Lord, help us to have that thirst to look and to look through and meditate and discuss and understand your vertical information to us, that we might apply it to our practical life to be like you.